Our last week, maybe second to last week, so if there are things that you really wanted to get to and discuss that we haven't, today would be the day to make sure you ask those questions. I don't presume to think that we've wrapped up every loose end or that all of us are at a point where we say, we've got everything figured out now, but hopefully some things that have added to our thinking through our Christian life in the world. Let's begin with prayer, and then we'll do the catechism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless our discussion, our study, our time in your word and in fellowship as Christians. We pray that you would watch over us and guide us, that we may faithfully live out our callings as your people in every vocation that we have. We pray that you would watch over our country, that you would grant wisdom to our leaders, unity in the truth to our people, and that you would lead and guide us that we may faithfully be a land and people of peace where your word can flourish and many can come to know your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, the whole catechism, a catechism on the two realms. What is the first great commission given for the temporal realm? And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. What is the second great commission given for the spiritual realm? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. For whom, what, and why are we to pray? First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. To whom do we owe our highest obedience? Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. How then should we view earthly authorities? Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. What does St. Peter say about submission to authorities? Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. What does St. Peter say about suffering unjustly? Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. How does St. Paul view the idea that the ends justify the means? And why not do evil that good may come? As some people slanderously charge us with saying, their condemnation is just. How do we distinguish the two realms? Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. My kingdom is not from the world. Where is our citizenship? Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have told you, and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. How are we to live in this world as Christians? But we urge you to do this brotherly love more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that what you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. All right, here's the big question for today. Taking this catechism, these passages, and I know it's not the all of Scripture or even everything that Scripture has to say on the topic, how would this lead us to live in daily life as Christians? What are the things practically that it would lead us to do, and how are we to be as Christians in this world? And you can refer to particular passages, but that's the main question today, like the takeaway. Okay, how do we live as Christians day by day in a world and society that is so fractured, where there is so much tension and conflict? What does it look like for us? Cheryl.
One of the things that I've noticed with this over the last few years in our presidential democracy is that it used to be when, like, my parents, and me as well, whichever, but we had more of a reverence for the office. But as the last few elections, now we pinpoint people like, I don't like Trump, or I don't like Biden, or whatever, in not holding honor for the position. And it's not just one person, it's not just Trump, it's a whole bunch of people. He might be the figurehead of it, you know. But so when we project that dislike or what have you, it really says a lot about us and our lack of trust in God.
Okay.
Because if we're not revering, we're not honoring the emperor. We're not honoring that God has put this person, for better or worse, in this position. Mm-hmm. We should still honor the position. I live with dear Christian people over there that have such hatred for a person they've never met.
Yeah.
You know, so how do we temper that?
Yeah.
To reflect Christ and his love, not this other church.
Yeah, so maybe the first thing that you bring out, and you reference the catechism here, is honor and respect for authorities. Not because of their person, but because of the office that they occupy. And this is something we are called to as Christians. Honor and respect doesn't mean that we have to say that everything they do is right, or that we love their character or their person, whoever it might be. But this is something, what I'm thinking of here is, what are the things we as Christians are called to that, again, we are the salt and the light that the world is not going to, they're not going to care about. But we can actually bring this into the public sphere. And in one sense, what I want to offer is the idea that maybe the most important things we as Christians have to offer are not particular policies, but rather an attitude of life that we can bear witness to the world. And this is one of those things, the honor and respect for authorities. I mean, if Christians cannot honor and respect the offices of authority, then who will? You've heard me say that a number of times. Like, if we're not doing it, why would we expect anyone in the world to do this? Right? So that's one thing. What else? Luann?
I think kindness and forgiveness and not holding grudges.
Okay.
I mean, I've seen people...
We're going to hold off on the I've seen people, because I want to just get to the heart of these things in the 15 minutes we have. Kindness, forgiveness.
Yeah, kindness, forgiveness, and not holding grudges.
And not holding grudges.
Because when you... Really, when you forgive someone, it's more for you than for them.
Okay.
And I've said that before. Sometimes people could care less if you forgive them or not.
Certainly we need kindness and forgiveness.
Right.
I think, you know, when we're talking about specifically the role as Christians in this political realm, I mean, one thing we might say is not allowing disagreements to become divisive of relationship with others.
Tolerance might even be...
That tolerance gets overused in ways, so I think I'd stay away from that a little bit. It carries certain connotations, but kindness is good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even, you know, if we think about what St. Paul said about the ends justifying the means, that even if there is something good that we're aiming for, we cannot look to achieve that good by some means or way that is evil or wrong. Yeah. Linda?
I think kind of overlapping with, we have to walk humbly with our God. We have to let our light shine so that our good deeds will then glorify our Father. So that, you know, we're not out there yelling and screaming, we're not out there, you know, arguing against things rather than showing people how God works in us.
Yeah.
And I think that also reflects many of us work in very different environments, education, medical fields, yeah, whatever. But he also asks us to respect our masters, whether they're gentle or whether they're... And I think sometimes it's hard to do if someone's coming down on you about your work. But,
yeah.
But God leads us to kind of show everybody that he's in us.
Yeah, so the thing that I hear you adding is, which comes out very clearly here, especially in St. Peter, that our deeds, our good deeds... We don't focus on good deeds for the sake of our salvation. That's accomplished in Christ. But our good deeds are a witness to the world. And in some ways, I want to be clear, I am not saying in any of this that politics doesn't matter or is insignificant. But I am saying that I think as Christians, we sometimes place an overemphasis and hope on the ballot box and changing the culture, which I don't see as primary objectives of the scriptures, at least directly, but rather this idea of our good deeds being seen by others so that they can glorify God is significant. And that might be even a more important thing sometimes than making sure that the thing that I know is right happens. But if I do it in such a way that it doesn't glorify God, then it seems to go against this. I'm going to hold on and grab Paul. Paul?
Just in response to that, two things. I think that living in a democracy is a little bit different than living under the emperor.
Okay.
So I think we might have a more active role
right. In
that. And then secondly, just as far as how we should live our lives and like what we should support, I'm looking at the Catechism, Romans chapter 3, verse 8, it's about the end justifying the means. So even if a policy, you know, might be a good thing that we're trying to achieve, there is a certain way that we need to go about that.
Yeah, so those two things. One is, a democracy is different, right? Paul never had the option to vote for emperor. Yeah. Would you like Nero? All in favor say aye, right? So we do have a responsibility in that sense. Even the things that the scriptures say about rulers apply in a slight way to those who haven't the ability to elect the rulers. I think that point is well taken. And again, I would say, if you've taken this away, I hope you haven't. My idea is not let's stick our head in the sand and ignore things, or let's be Amish and not vote. There are some good things about the Amish, I think. But let's engage but not put our hope there and not think that that's going to solve the issues of the world. I mean, if voting could solve the issues of the world, I'm pretty sure Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross. And he would have marshaled forces for voting, right? You know, if I can do this without going on the cross, let's go that route, right? And then your second thing was, yes, the means and how we go about things matter. And I think that's significant because there may be people who agree on certain things with us, but would use other means that we can't go along with and support. And I think that's significant. So as Christians, kind of checking ourselves, okay, here's a good that I want to vote for or a policy that I think is necessary. Now let's go about it in the right way. Absolutely. Dave?
When we've talked about, like, okay, respect for your rulers, or president, whatever, we also need to bring that down to an individual level.
Okay.
We need to have respect for the other individuals that we meet with, respect your, we might disagree with them on opinion,
yes,
but always respect them as a person.
How far respect goes?
A long way, I know.
I think respect actually wins a brother or sister far more often than an argument does. There's something no one's mentioned yet. Chuck?
For me, I think one of the most important things is actions speak louder than words.
Okay.
Our behavior.
Yes, right.
Influences people.
Yep.
For good or bad.
Right.
And, one of the things I remember hearing, in other services, but you can be a Christian, you can come to church, you can, act a part of a Christian, then you leave the church and you cut somebody off in traffic,
right,
or you do stuff like that. And people see that kind of stuff.
Yes, yeah. And honestly, I mean, that's one part of it, right? By our example, there's also the example of if we do cut someone off in traffic, and let's say someone approaches us about it, do we repent? Right? So that, part of, I think, the witness that we bear as Christians is not only the witness that we're doing good, which hopefully we are, but also the witness of when we don't, we confess it and acknowledge it. And that bears a tremendous witness to the world as well. When we think about this list, this catechism, what's the first thing that you run across about our daily life, what we should be doing? Take away the be fruitful and multiply, right?
Praying.
Is it interesting that we didn't start by saying the first thing we need to do is pray. What is, I'll grab you in a second, Eric. Paul in 1 Timothy there, he says, first of all. As Christians gather together, and I do think he's talking here about a worship context, he urges supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, and then he names especially what?
The leaders.
The leaders. He doesn't, and I'm not saying that we're wrong to do this, he doesn't name those who are sick. He names the leaders, which is really significant. And I think it's worth us asking as Christians, if we're trying to engage with the world in some way, but we're not praying for our leaders, then what are we doing? And notice what the goal of that prayer. What are we asking for?
Peaceful and quiet life,
godly and dignified in every way. I think one of the things that we as Christians ought to do as we look at our life in this world is ask the question of, am I able to lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified? Because if I am, that's really, really significant. He doesn't say, pray for kings and all in high positions that we may have lower taxes and higher bank account balances, which would be nice. I'd be a fan of that as well. But that we lead peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. I tend to think that there are ways that the tension we feel in our world ignores and misses the blessings and benefits we have. I mean, I'm okay with people arguing about things. Have at it, arguing about policies and that sort of a thing. But let's not confuse the world that we live in, the country we live in, the place we have. We're not in Ukraine. We're not in Gaza. We're not in Iran. Iran? I forget how you say it.
Doesn't matter.
So, not taking for granted what we do enjoy. And then, going on in this 1 Timothy passage, where does Paul drive after that? Peaceful and godly lives, quiet and dignified in every way. That's pleasing. So that
God desires all people to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth.
Bingo. What should we do in the time that we have as we lead peaceful and godly lives, or peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and dignity? Well, bring the good news to others. I mean, that in one sense, I think sometimes we take for granted the peace that we have, not realizing this is a time to make our Lord's name known. That's one of the things we can do in this. I'll grab you in a second, Luann. Eric had a hand, so.
As far as respect goes, what comes to mind is where Jesus is in front of Pilate, and he says, "You have no authority except what has been given to you."
Right.
And what he's referring there is, there is a purpose why God, I'll say God, allows bad things, but it's up to us to find out why and to take it in His stride, not ours. Yeah. The Roman world was lousy. He had taxes, he had debt, he had slavery. But if it wasn't for the Roman world, the gospel would not have been spread as much as it was throughout the entire empire.
Right. All of us of European descent might not well
so
be
there.
There
is
here,
a
right?
reason.
Yeah.
It's up to us to find that reason and reside in peace.
I'm with you on that. I'm not sure we can always find the reason. I say to live in peace is a great place to start. And also, I mean, maybe the other thing that I'll say is, when I say respect for authorities, I don't mean, and we talked about this early on, that everything someone claims as authority is necessarily authority. I mean, there is a place to hold authorities accountable for the authority that they actually have versus authority they might want to have. Luann, you had a comment.
So, what I find difficult, people will say to me sometimes, "Are you a Christian?" And Christian has come to mean so many different things in our society. So I usually answer, "I'm a Lutheran," which to me is the best Christian to be, but you know. So I'll say, "I'm a Lutheran," and and this is what we believe. Mm-hmm. Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone.
Okay.
That's what we believe.
Yeah.
Because to some people, you say, I'm a Christian, and they picture, I forget whether it's far right or far left, I forget which direction things go.
So I'll just note, Christian, you can find both directions.
Okay.
Absolutely, both
so
directions.
It's the term Christian has come to mean so much more than what we're talking about here. And sometimes it has a very negative connotation. I don't know how to, other than getting into this large dissertation, how do you overcome that negativity that's associated with it?
Well, I think it, with that question, you could do a couple of things.
Okay.
Are you a Christian? You could respond by saying, you can't respond by saying no. Okay, let's just be clear about that. You could respond by saying, what do you mean by a Christian?
Okay.
Pull out from them what their definition is. Or you could simply say, yes, I'm a Christian, and give what you mean by Christian, right? So don't let that association that they have with that word simply sit there by itself without countering it in some way. Yes, I'm a Christian. I believe that I'm a sinner and that Jesus died for the forgiveness of my sins and rose again on the third day. Maybe that counters some idea they have about what a Christian is.
Okay.
Yeah. But asking them, and it doesn't have to be long, right? So you don't have to go into, let me tell you the whole of the Bible.
Right.
But this is actually, I think, important. If what do they call it? An elevator pitch?
Yeah.
Right, 30 seconds. If you had 30 seconds to confess your faith, what would you say? And it actually would be worth practicing that. Writing it out and rehearsing it so that when you are in that moment, you don't have to say, well, I'm glad that, but you can simply confess it. Right? All right, Megan? Yeah.
That right there is witness and sharing the gospel.
Absolutely.
Because as soon as you say, I'm a sinner, there are Christians right now who don't believe that there is sin.
Yeah.
So you've already narrowed down what it is that you believe about being a Christian separate from other people.
Right. And I think even with Lutheran, I think you probably actually have to. Well, Lutheran may open up questions for someone like, what is that, right? But in a sense, we can't stop with the label. We've got to actually get to the heart of it.
Okay.
Right? That's really important. Ed?
So in your answer to prayer first,
yeah,
we feel a lot of stress, and anything can do, stress or distress, about what's happening to the world.
Yeah.
You know, we need to hang on to the word that says it's all in the Father's control.
Right.
And that he raises up kingdoms and he takes them down.
Yeah.
And if we happen to be in a time where it's coming down, you know, our response should not be to be fearful and raging,
right,
but turn to the Lord and trust.
Yeah, yeah. And we should expect the stress. I mean, Jesus made pretty clear, like, hey, before I come back again, there are going to be wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes, and why are we surprised by these things? The other thing I'll say is, in times of distress, we do have examples in the past. When the Roman Empire failed, you know who was standing to carry out from the ashes of the Roman Empire? The Christian church. Did they do everything perfectly? No. But they were there, right? Even to the point where you have the gospel, like, on over in Ireland or islands off of England, that is then brought back to re-evangelize the continent of Europe. I mean, it's an amazing thing. So yes, thank you, Ed, for that. But you know, the Lord is at work, whether everything's going the way we want it to go or not going the way we want it to go. Christ is still on his throne. Yeah. Ted, you had a hand, and then Linda.
We have the creeds. When you ask, are you a Christian, the creeds that we have are absolute declarations of what we believe and how we believe it.
Yeah. We in other words, we practice being able to answer someone who says, are you a Christian, every single Sunday, because we can say, golly, yeah, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I mean, if you want to get into a conversation, that'll give you enough for like 12 weeks of conversation right there. So yes, you are prepared, right? And you know what to say. Linda, and then we've got a
we should never become complacent.
Yeah.
And that's where our prayer has to be fervent and ongoing constantly. Because, yes, I know God's in charge, but that doesn't mean I stop praying for the people that are working hard to turn America back to being Christian, hardworking, God-fearing, and also, you know, for enemies or for people who are going against what we believe, we still have to pray for them as well.
Absolutely.
But I think it's very easy to become complacent. You know, things are going the way they're supposed to be going, so, you know.
Easy to become complacent or angry and raging or despairing or whatever it might be. And those are not biblical virtues in any way, right? Complacency, I don't think it's a fruit of the Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is complacency, raging, and despair. Right? Well, that would fit some of us, but no, it's not, right? There are other fruits of the Spirit. So, Jenny, you have a hand, and then I need to wrap us up today. We will go on next week as well, because I have a couple more things. But, Jenny?
The thing I noticed in all this is love.
Love.
Christ is love.
Yeah.
Forgiven to the cross. But if we learn how to love, loves us, we will be able to endure and give the right answers because the Holy Spirit will give it to you.
Yeah. And it's a strong love, right? I mean, Christ's love is not a weak love. Everything's fine and everything's okay. But a strong love that is even willing to die for the sinner, which is an amazing thing. So we're going to call a wrap on it today. But I do want to get on a little bit further to the hope that we have as Christians. So that's where we're going to go next week. If, as I said, because we're coming toward an end of this topic, if you have questions, comments, concerns, things that you wanted to get to, besides solving all the problems of the world, which I think I promised at the beginning but can't deliver on, let me know and we'll pull those in. But I think probably after another week or so, I think we'll have done what we need to do at this point on this topic and then can move on to other things. Let's close in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we hear how St. Paul urges that first of all, intercessions, prayers, thanksgiving, supplications should be made for all, including for kings and all who are in high positions. We also hear the call to honor and respect the authorities. We hear the call to live lives that will bear witness to who you are. We ask, dear Father in heaven, that you would help us to do these things. And we pray now for those who are in authority, that you would give them wisdom to lead us through these times. We pray that we may be able still to lead peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way, so that your will, that all people would be saved, may take place in our own communities and in our own country. We pray that you would help us to be salt and light, and not to put our hopes ultimately in the things of this world, but to hold these things with an open hand as we press forward to the promises that you have given. We pray that you would lead and guide us, that we may remain united and focused on Christ with all of our various thoughts, ideas, questions, and wrestlings that we have as Christians in this time and in this place. For you have set us here for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go in peace.